The next step is that I receive it back in. And what I mean by that is with your heart is a picture-creating device. Your spirit man is a picture-generating, a picture-creating being. And what you do is you receive it, as the Bible says, receive it in a figure, in your heart, in your imagination of your spirit. You receive God doing that to you. Whatever that verse says, if it's the verse about Yeshua carried your sicknesses and carried your pains upon the cross, well then see Him doing that. Just imagine it. Just receive it in a figure. Whatever it is, imagine God telling it to you. Imagine God speaking that word to you and imagine yourself receiving it in. Okay, that's the satellite beaming it back to you. That's what belief is. Belief is receiving it in your spirit in a figure. All right, you following me? And then what you do is then you turn again and you speak at the item that needs to be spoken to and you release it out your mouth. Okay? You speak directly to it. If it's your body, you say, you give it a direct command. As it says in Mark 11, speak in the mountain, say, be removed and be cast in the sea. So for instance, to your body, you say, body. Or first you could address the sickness and you say, sickness, I command you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, to be removed off of my body and cast into the sea. I believe that with my heart. And then you say, body, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I command you, be healed and stay healthy. And then you proclaim that you're healed. Now, whatever it is, you have to do this. There's three steps. You beam it back to the satellite by making a demand on the covenant. Secondly, you receive it being done unto you. You receive it into your heart and spend some time right there until you can really see it on the inside and then speak it out at the object and stand upon it. Okay, that's the way that it happens. This is how you do it. Now, let's look a little bit here in Psalm 103 where we're at. I want you to notice something here. Now that you've got that little model, it says here, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now the word bless means to speak with your mouth. Are you aware of that? Bless means to speak with your mouth. Curse, blessings and cursing are the same thing. To curse is to speak with your mouth a word of authority in a negative direction inspired of the devil. And to bless is to speak with your mouth a word of authority in a positive direction inspired of God. Cursing is to speak negatively. Blessing is to speak positively. But blessing, dear friend, is to speak. You say, well, I don't know if I believe in all that confession stuff. You are commanded here to bless the Lord. And how does he say to bless the Lord? But to remind him that he's the healer of all your diseases. So God's idea of blessing is to speak out with your mouth that God has healed you. All right. Now here we have an example of faith confession of healing. So when someone comes up to you and they say, how are you doing? I say, bless the Lord, he heals all my diseases. Well, how do you feel? None of your business. Do you ever think that that's kind of a personal question? Why do you ask me how I feel? Now, we have got to learn to do that with one. Listen, can we be believers with one another? Why can't we be believers? There are carnal people in the world and there's spiritual people in the world. When I ask you how you are, I'm not going to be offended if you speak to me out of the Spirit and say, praise God, I'm more than an overcomer. I'm not saying that. I understand that you say that to me, that it may be that you're experiencing some pain in your body. But I can agree with you on that. In fact, we ought to be trained to know that. If you ask somebody how they are and they say, by his stripes I'm healed, you ought to be not that dumb to understand that they're making a faith confession and get in there and agree with them. When I come home and my wife says, "What kind of day do you have, dear?" And I said, "I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer." She understands what's going on.
She's going, "Oh, I had a rotten day, huh?"
No, you know. She says, "Praise God, I agree with you. You are, honey, and I believe in you." Well, let's stop being babies. The only reason why you say, "I don't feel good," or "I had a bad day," is because you want somebody to give you some comfort. Admit it. Why can't we be believers? I expect if someone's not a believer, when I say them, watch these words. When I say to an unbeliever, a carnal person, and I say to him, "How are you?" I expect him to translate to that to mean, "How does your body feel?" But I expect you, if you're a believer, and I say to you, "How are you?" to give me a statement of who you are in Jesus. Paul said, "I can't even talk to you guys. You're like carnal. You're like babies. I ask you how you are, and you tell me how you're feeling." I mean, come on. Listen, that's baby teaching. You don't know the difference between spirit, soul, and body by now? Where did I get off on that? Here we go. All right. Oh, yes, here I am. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." I'm trying to tell you how you go about confessing. Now listen, he says this here, watch this. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." He is talking to his soul. He is talking to his will, his intellect, and his emotions, saying, "Get it in order, troops, and let's start with some positive confession." Blessing's just the biblical word for positive confession. It's obvious that since he is commanding his soul to do it, that his soul wasn't doing it, wasn't prone to do it, and didn't feel like doing it. He's giving the soul an order from his spirit man. And he's saying, "Soul, because your mind is the part that formulates words." Do you see that? If you speak in tongues, you can bypass your mind and you can speak out directly in words. But if you're going to confess a word in English or a known language, you have to get your intellect to cooperate with you. And so he's saying, "Listen, mind, listen, will, I know you don't feel like it, but make a decision and obey me. Formulate the words, exercise some effort, exercise some decision, and speak out the fact that God has healed you, whether you like it or not." And you say, "I don't know, people just forcing themselves to make confessions. That sounds hypocritical to me." No. Hypocritical. You know what hypocritical means? Hypo means false. Critical means, well, it's coming off of the word credence. If you have something, when you act or speak different from what you believe in, that's being a hypocrite. But if you believe that you've been healed, being a hypocrite is not speaking or acting differently from how you feel. Being a hypocrite is acting or speaking differently from what you believe. So if you believe one way and feel another way, speak out what you believe. That's not being hypocritical. That's speaking faith. Now, that's bona fide faith. Now you speak that out and you say to your soul, okay? Well, I don't think I should just psych myself up into it. The word psych just means soul in Greek. You have to take dominion over your soul and make it do this. Do you know David well enough, King David, to know what condition he must have been in when he wrote this psalm? You know the difference. He wrote some praising psalms, didn't he, when he was rejoicing? He wrote a lot of other songs that were warfare, victory, confessions. Which one is that one? That's a victory confession. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't forget the fact that you're forgiven. Don't forget the fact that you're healed." He's calling himself. The Bible said of David that he strengthened himself in God. That's what he's doing here. Now, first he's speaking to his soul. And he's saying, "Soul, your effort, your will, your deciding part, your mind, your thoughts. You see, I don't feel healed, but can you think about the fact that you should be? Then speak it out of your soul. Do it anyway. Make it happen. Force yourself." Little babies just go to the bathroom anytime they feel like it. Adults learn to control their feelings. Don't just speak anything you feel like. Speak what's right. Now, look at the next line. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now he says it again. He's commanding first his soul. Secondly, what? Every single thing that is inside him. He says, you bless the Lord, O my soul. And every single ounce of strength and guts and determination and spirit and vibrancy, if there's anything else in there, throw it on there. And speak it out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in within me. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you. Won't work. Do it with everything that's in you. And boy, you don't feel like that when your head hurts. But it'll work this way. It'll work this way. You got to confess it with every single thing, every fiber of your inner being. Listen, Jesus prayed so hard, he sweat blood. We ought to confess that. All right. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Right? You got to resist him. Now, an event happened with my wife. I want to give you an example of something that doesn't have to do with healing, but there's a parallel with it. The other day, my wife was on the phone. Somebody had given her name of someone to witness to, a Jewish person. And she called the person up, and the lead was that supposed this person was supposed to be open to receive a word from him. So she called and says, hi, you know, my name's Betty and Trader. We're from El Shaddai Congregation. I just want to talk to you about Yeshua a little bit. And apparently we got the wrong information. Anyway, the person cussed her on the phone and slammed the phone down. And I saw my wife go, whoa, and hang up the phone. And she turned around. And I was sitting on the other side of the living room. And she told me what happened. And if you know my wife, she's a powerhouse in the Lord. I mean, nothing's going to harm her. But I was watching her, and I noticed just a slight little flicker in her eye, just a drop of little wetness in her eye, and I saw that something had hurt her a little bit. And I said, honey, quick, I want you to do three things. Do exactly what I tell you to do. Now, listen to this. Because this has to do with healing, we'll have to make the connection later, but I told her to do three things. I said, honey, first of all, I want you to say out loud with me right now, say, I reject what that person just had to say. I do not receive it. I put up my shield of faith. It will not hit me. I quench the fire. And I let her in a confession of verbally saying with her mouth, because she has authority over her own being, and said, I do not receive what that person just said. I formally, with the authority of my own being and with the words of my mouth, I reject what that person had definitely, now, once and for all. It does not have access to my inner being. All right? The second thing I told her to do is watch this. I said, quick, take your Bible. Now, she knows the verse I'm going to give her, but I said, you take your Bible and you turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Now, turn with me real quick. Luke chapter 6. And I said, I want you to do like what I told you. Put your finger on this verse, look at it with your eyes, and read it out loud with me. Luke chapter 6. Let's turn up to verse 22. And it says, blessed are you, I had to read it out loud from the Bible. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Indeed, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So I had to read it out loud like that and take a moment to meditate on it and receive that in. All right? On purpose. I'm trying to give you a method, which is going directly to your Bible and finding the written verse and looking at it and then meditating it on when you come into a situation. You follow me? What was the third thing I asked her to do? Physically, nope. I said, bend your knee and jump into the air. Did I ask her if she felt like it? No, I said, do it. The Bible says that when you get attacked by someone, bend your knee and jump into the air. That's silly. Yeah, you try it sometime when you get attacked. If you don't do it, it'll sink you down. And if you do it, you'll be protected. And I said, it didn't matter what you feel like, just out of flat obedience. Can you do a jumping jack? You know, if you're tired, you can just do it. And she began to jump up and down and praise God, I rejoice, I've been reviled and persecuted for the name of Yeshua. And she began to rejoice, and we began to jump up and run around the living room and chase it and had a great time. And that thing didn't do a bit to her. But if she had just walked away and said, oh, I don't think I'll let that bother me. You know what happened? We just start eating. And I'm trying to tell you that there is a method of faith that is plain and is open. And what you do is in any situation, you go to the Word of God, you look it up, you look at the verse, you receive it in your spirit, and you act upon it, whatever that acting upon it is. All right? Acting upon it in a case of healing would be able to move something you couldn't move before. Do anything. But you receive the Word, you meditate on it, and then you put something into action. All right? Now, what does this have to do with healing? Now, the Lord gave me a revelation about this over this past week, and it really came together today, and I believe it's going to take me a few minutes to get this out. If we can, Lord, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help me get this out. All right, turn back with me right now to Proverbs chapter 17. And I want to talk about the relationship of joy to healing. To answer the question now, I've just been talking to you about how it is that we go about making a faith confession to get healed. Now I want to talk to you about where is it that we have been missing it. All right? Where is it that we have been missing it in the question of healing? Now, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22... it says this, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, in the case of sickness, there is a power that is released through your inner being, of joy that releases power to bring that confession to pass. All right? When you confess something, it has to be backed up by power. And there is power, particularly in the force of joy, to effect healing in a physical body. It says that here. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, I believe here that merry heart connects with most of the biblical words of the word joy. We might say this, a joyful heart. A heart releasing the power of joy is like that life unto the life and healing unto the flesh. Joy should be released through your heart. Now, joy here, I'm sure you know the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is just what happens to you. Joy is an overcoming, triumphant force of victory that overcomes circumstances. All right? Shouts of joy and victory. Joy is the force of victory. Joy is the force that in the middle of the battle, when it looks like defeat, smells victory and rises up in joy to turn the enemy back at the gate. Joy is the strength of the Lord. Joy is the thing that rises up inside of you to match opposition and attack and persecution and count even overwhelming odds against you. Count it all joy. Joy is the hunter instinct. Joy is the warrior instinct to overcome obstacles and reign triumphant. Joy is the strength that Yeshua tore down the powers and principalities and led us forward in triumph and victory. A joyful heart says when sickness hits your body, how dare you? I'm going to jump all over you. Joy is a thing that rises up from the midst of defeat and death and conquers victoriously. Joy is the enjoyment of victory. Joy is the shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. All right. Well, that's joy. Now, but here's the revelation with this. And maybe this is just true for me, but I doubt it. I have noticed over the past few years, it's very seldom that sickness can attach itself to my body. I've just really am really convinced about the scriptures that healing is. This past week, something got onto my body and it was difficult for me to shake it. I began to say, God, what is it? What, I mean, I know it's not that I don't believe in healing. What got under, what got behind my armor here? What hit the soft spot in me? The Lord had me meditate on this verse and meditate a lot on Philippians 4, where it says, whatever is good and right and true and lovely, think upon these things. And I began to realize that as I look back, the very few times over the past few years that sickness has made any inroads into my body, when I look at that, the period of time a few days before that, I was involved in some negative thoughts, and those negative thoughts got me depressed. And I realized that this past week that I had been struggling with a set of thoughts. It just so happened that in my perception, it seemed to me that a real good friend of mine had betrayed me, and I just could not get out of that. I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know, I couldn't go this way, I couldn't go that way, and I was just trapped. You know what I'm talking about? To be trapped in a negative thought, and I could not seem to get out. I kept praying about it. God, what do you want me to do? And I remember that whole time, the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't obeying Him, but the Holy Spirit was whispering to me and saying, Keith, you've got to get out of this line of thinking. Don't worry about what the answer is. Just get out. Stop thinking this way. Get out. Get above it. This is unhealthy for you. But I just couldn't. It was someone close to me, and I just could not get out of it. And I began to get into that negative thoughts back and forth with it, and I got trapped in it, and I began to lose my joy, and sickness was waiting. And I believe the Bible says in Philippians 4 that you're only to think upon positive things. So I don't believe in all that positive thinking stuff. Well, read Philippians chapter 4. I believe, watch this closely, a negative thought in your mind is the first encroachment of sickness and disease in your body. And what happens is the first thing, you just get a little tiny thought in your mind. And then you repeat it a little bit more and more and more, and you don't get out. And it goes from just your intellect, it becomes a thought in your intellect. And then it grows and becomes an emotion, a depression, a bad mood, and your emotions are connected with your body. And if you keep allowing it, this a negative thought and a bad mood, that is a negative thought in your intellect, a negative mood in your emotions, in your soul, if you keep doing that, it will go into your heart. And once it gets into your heart, Bible says if a man commits adultery in his heart, it's done. If you get that bad mood in your heart, it's done. And the power of life and healing, where is it in Proverbs 4? To guard it in your heart. If it gets in there, it's going to snuff out that light of healing, and it's going to hit your body. So watch the pattern is. First, a negative thought. Then negative, then a low emotional state, you know, a depression, depressed emotional state. And then it gets into your heart and snuffs out the vibrancy of joy. And then, you see, Satan waits to hit you with the pain. Yes, thank you, Lord. The spirit of infirmity has been on you all the time. But the physical pain he doesn't bring in until he's got you in a weakened state. And then he hits you with the pain when you don't feel like fighting back. I don't suppose it's happened to anybody before. So the thing is, you've got to recognize that the first thought, folks, your minds are redeemed. Your mind is created to contain thoughts of the living God, the thoughts of the resurrection. Get your mind out of the gutter. Even if it's true what happened to you, get it out of the gutter anyway. It's not going to do you any good to think about it. If you get your mind on God, He may give you a solution to it. If you just wallow around in the problem, you're going to go down. Plenty of people lose, folks. And it starts with that first thought. Take every thought captive in the beginning. A negative thought is the first inkling of the spirit of infirmity and physical pain to follow later on. And if you fight it then, when it's just a little thought, you can take it captive while you still got the joy in your spirit. If you wait till your spirit's quenched out and the physical symptoms hit you, then your willpower's down, your spiritual force is down, and you got to go, and I've had to do it, and you've had to do it, so you got to go back to the Word and dig yourself out of that hole. And it takes a long time, doesn't it? You dig yourself out of that. But if you will learn this in the beginning to get it out, then you'll have victory on it, all right? And you have to confess this. Now, here's where the revelation comes in with this. praise God. The Lord gave me this afternoon. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this to come out. Honestly, will you all just pray with me for a moment? I really want this to come out. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to anoint these next couple of moments, that this revelation about Isaiah 53 here will come out. And I thank you for it, Lord. I'm asking you for this, Father, in the name of Yeshua, for the wisdom and revelation for this. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have confessed that verse thousands of times. Thousands of times. And it struck me that most of the time I've been doing it, I've been missing something. You ever know, like, you can tell when you swing a bat and you hit the ball square. You know, and you can tell when you swing it and something's not quite making a connection. And I know that I know, and you know that you know, that the pay dirt about healing power is in that phrase. By his stripes we are healed. In the Hebrew, it's only two words. Something in that is the power for healing. That's where Yeshua took it on the cross for us. It's the change. And I was praying, God, what is this? By his stripes, by his stripes. I said, Lord, what is that? By his wounds, by his wounds, by his wounds. Yeshua was whipped and he was crucified, but he was whipped. He was whipped. And by the fact that he was whipped, what we should have taken, the fact that he took that whipping for us, the revelation of that fact releases a strength inside your being that enables you to overcome the attack of sickness and disease upon your body. But how is that? He took my whippings. My whippings. He took my whippings, which made me healed. Means that the whippings that come upon me are what make me sick. So there are whippings coming against you, and the whippings that are coming against you, which are the things that are breaking you down to make you yield to the force of sickness and disease. The whippings that are coming against you, I'm going to explain what those are in a moment. The whippings that are coming against you are weakening your inner being so that you can't fight and overcome the power of sickness and disease. And it is in his strength, when you catch the revelation, that the whippings that are coming against you to make you sick, that he came from where he was and stood in for your place, and he overcame the whippings that were coming against you for you to be healed, releases strength for you to stand up and to overcome those whippings. In other words, under normal conditions, you ought to be able to overcome with the spiritual force in your own spirit to overcome the forces that are attacking you to make you sick. But when the whippings and the forces of this world overcome you and you can't, it's the atonement, the substitution of Yeshua, the revelation, when you are down and unable to handle the things that are coming against you, breaking you down and making you yield to sickness, when you catch the revelation that he came in on his own when he didn't have to and fought your battle, there's something about seeing that another person could fight your battle and overcome the whippings for you that says to you, well, goodness gracious, if someone else can stand in and overcome my whippings, I can sure do it. And it allows you to stand up and overcome it. Now, what are the whippings? I don't think it was a coincidence. What happened to me this week was that I felt that a close friend had betrayed me. Now, I believe the thing that makes most believers get broken down and yield to sickness is that someone very close to them speaks words of rejection at them. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Now, when someone rejects you who is close to you, it hurts you and breaks you down. You say, well, there's lots of different ways to be hurt. There may be, but I think this is the key one, and I'll explain this to you. When you're a believer, you expect the world to be against you. You're ready and you're prepared for it. What's the thing that gets you? Is when somebody close to you, whom you did not expect to hurt you, turns on you and does something negative to you, rejects you, whips you, pushes you out. Listen to this. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11, says Yeshua came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own, meaning the people that were close to him, did not receive him, meant they rejected him. The whippings and the stripes that he took were the outworkings and outward manifestation of the fact that were the people who were his own rejected him. Are you following me? When he bore the rejection of those who were close to him, which is the most painful thing a believer can stand. That's why the most heinous crime of the New Testament is Judas betraying Yeshua. He said, one of my own who dipped his bread in the sop with me, who made a covenant gesture, one of my covenant buddies who betrayed me, whom his last word to him was, Judas, my friend, my covenant brother. That was the most heinous of crimes. The only thing that can hurt a believer is when someone close to you betrays you. Now, it may have been a parent or a grandparent who did it to you when you were so young you didn't even know about it. Or it may be someone, a close friend here. Now watch. It says that Yeshua was despised and rejected of men. I believe rejection is the primary level of pain. We were rejected from the Garden of Eden. The rejection syndrome is what happens. And when you feel betrayed or rejected, the same thing. It can come in all different forms. Betrayal or rejection, whatever it is. Or words of cursing. The pains, the whippings, the swords of other people. The woundings, the stripes that you are bearing is what is bringing you down under and into sickness. The stripes and rejections and hurts and betrayals from other people that you bear is what brings you into sickness. And when Yeshua can bear those and take those away from you is when you can rise into healing. It's like you can't fight the sickness when you feel stabbed in the side. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it said his own did not receive him. It's always, you ask yourself right now, is there someone who you have unforgiveness toward and bitterness toward? It's never your enemy. You always forgive your enemies. It's your best buddy that you always have unforgiveness and resentment for. It's your spouse or a parent or your best friend. It's close to home. You remember I asked God, how did this thing get behind my armor? I know too much about sickness and healing. I know too much about the ways of the devil. It can't be. He can't break through my shield. But if a friend who I've let get behind my shield does it, it's hard to take that stab out. You understand what I'm saying? He was despised and rejected of men, his own, those close. Now watch this. It says that, did you ever notice how many times when Yeshua healed someone, he said, first of all, your sins are forgiven. Now what's the condition for having your sins forgiven? That you forgive others. And who are the people that you have to forgive? Not your enemies, those who are close to you. You see the syndrome. You get sick because somebody close to you has betrayed you. And you don't mean to, but you can't help it. You get caught in an area of unforgiveness and resentment. You're trying not to, but you can't fight out those negative thoughts. And then if you can work that out and get forgiveness toward them, you can be forgiven and then you can walk free of it. Getting free from the rejection and the pain and the close interpersonal relationship problems is what will set you off into healing. See what I'm saying? Or anybody else whom you let down your guard to come in. You know, it can be somebody. It could be a person far away from you if you're unscriptural enough. That was a polite way of saying stupid. To let that happen to you. You know. Now. So he came to his own and his own did not receive him. So what happens is that you have somehow in your life, you've been cursed, you've been rejected, you've been hurt, you've been betrayed. And it's not somebody out there that you can just say, yes, God, I forgive them. It's somebody right in here that you just can't get out of it. And you're trapped in negativity. And your joy is being drained out. And sickness is beating you over the head and you can't rise up because you have no inner strength. But when you catch a vision that Yeshua, Jesus, bore rejection from those who were close to him, and he bore the rejection from those who are close to you who are betraying you, it allows you to rise up and face the rejection. It allows you to turn the other cheek. It allows you to respond with love and joy and overcoming and lift you up over that. It allows you to turn to that person that's rejected and just love them anyway and be bigger than it. There is something here that you have to be able to face it. And I don't mean face it like a martyr. You know, this person's hurt me, I'll go face them and feel worse. I'm talking about where you've resolved it in the spirit and you've become an overcomer and you're able to be larger than the situation because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And you're able to face the hurt and rejection from that other person and overcome it, and then you're able to walk in that healing. When you can face that thing, that other person that's hurt you and whipped you, the wounds that you have been given, when you can face that person, look him in the eye and say, Father, forgive him. Then you have beaten it and you can walk in the healing. But you have to be able to face it. You can't turn your back to it. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm talking figuratively now, so don't misunderstand me. You can't begin to turn away from it. You have to be able to overcome it and look at it and face it and walk in triumph over it in love, in joy to overcome that. You have to be able to look to that close friend who's done you dirt. And in the goodness of your heart, you've just gotten victory over it, and it doesn't matter. Now, last verse I want to give you here, it's connected with this. Stay right with me. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it talks about turning away. It talks about just the opposite, not being able to face your faith challenge. Verse 35, it says, therefore do not cast away, Hebrews 10, 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, that the healing may be manifested in your flesh after you've worked yourself out of this here. Yet for a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now look at here, it says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him, but we are not those who draw back to perdition, or in this case sickness, but those who believe or face it with victory to the saving of the soul, or in this case to the healing of the body. When something is troubling you, those negative thoughts that come in and they're knocking you down, what happens is on the inside you begin to recoil and pull back and shy away from it. You get reluctant. You get fearful to face it. And you begin to pull back and you begin to withdraw. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's the place of defeat, where you have to go in God and get the faith built up to be able to face it and overcome it. When David fought Goliath, he ran at him. And the others were cowering back. I remember when I was a little boy, I had someone in the neighborhood who didn't like me. And we got in a fight one day and we began to trade a few punches. And I got scared and I began to turn in the fight. I began to turn my shoulder and my back. You know what I'm talking about? That's what somebody does in a fight when they think they're going to lose. They turn their shoulder and their back, and then he began to hit me in the back and the back of the head. And so what I do, I ran. That's how you get defeat, is by getting to draw back and turn away from it. You know? I'll just give you that figuratively, because something happens with the devil. What happens is the devil hurts you through someone who is close to you, and makes you draw back, and then he pounds on you to get you to lose and to be sick. Now, I remember another time, there was another fight. We had a little bully in the neighborhood, and he was picking on everybody, and somehow faith rose up inside of me that for the sake of all of us innocent kids in the neighborhood, somehow I was going to stand up. I walked up and took one wild swing and happened to punch him in the nose, and his nose started bleeding. He ran away crying, you know. It was no fight. I was a big hero. That didn't happen to me too often, but in that case it did. But you understand what I'm saying? Now listen, as we've got to close here. It's by the stripes of Yeshua that keeps us from drawing back and allows us to come up and face the situation. It's understanding that the wounds and rejections of other people break down our spiritual strength, cause our joy to go out, which allows us to succumb to the force of depression and sickness. But when we see that Yeshua suffered the same rejection that we're doing, and it's that rejection that causes this defeat, and that we see He stood against it for our sake, somehow, when you catch the revelation of that, if He could stand up to people rejecting Him for my sake, then I can stand up and face those things. The joy returns. The faith returns. I don't turn away. I stand up and face it. I forgive those. I come back into a place of spiritual victory, and by His stripes, I'm healed. And a joyful heart does good like a medicine. All right, let's close here. Listen, first step is this. Healing power is conveyed to us by the Word of God. Secondly, that Word is released in healing power through our tongues and through our mouths to the body. Thirdly, how we do it is by going to the Word of God directly, making demands upon it, getting into our heart and speaking it out. And lastly, where have we been missing it? By getting off and not being able to appropriate this joy, the what it meant in the Scriptures when it said, by His stripes I'm healed. Praise God. Let's stand together and confess that before the Lord. Praise God.